God. Father, we worship you. We just declare you are worthy of our praise. We welcome you here today, Holy Spirit. Just as you told us you would fill this place this morning, we just welcome you here. And we say, have your way, Holy Spirit, in our lives. We look to you as the teacher of the church, and we declare that we will hear those things that you want for us today. We praise and magnify the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. I want to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart for today. And we're going to talk about possessing my gift of healing. And it really builds on some things we talked about last week. So I'm going to do a review that maybe I normally don't do. We asked the question last week, what is Jesus's, and the title last week was, Jesus's victory in my healing. We started by asking the question, what does his victory have to do with my healing? And we saw that it has everything to do with it. We looked at Psalm 114, and we're not going to look at but one of these review scriptures today. And we saw in Psalm 114 that the Lord came out with them. His presence was with them. And when his presence was with them, the Red Sea fled. The Jordan turned back. Mountains skipped. And the hills jumped around like little lambs, and they got out of their way, and they came out. And what we saw in that is that because they came out as more than conquerors. And what does more than a conqueror mean? You get to take advantage of the benefits of who conquered without having been there and fought that battle. And so they came out as more than conquerors because the presence of the Lord was with them. And so how does that relate to us today? Well, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Romans 8 tells us that we've been made more than conquerors. And we ought to see the things that oppose us flee and turn back and run. Not physical things, not just physical things, but spiritually. We ought to see those things turn and run just because we come on the scene. And we talked about how this is really the good news, and all the good news points back to the cross. And we went through and looked at what Jesus said when he said, it is finished. And we asked, what does that mean? Well, it meant the old covenant was now fulfilled. It also meant he was through with the work he'd been sent to do. But it also ushered in the covenant of grace that we have. And so it's by grace that we receive our salvation. And how do we do it? Through faith. And we're going to talk some more about that today. And then we went and looked at Isaiah 53, and I want you to look at that because this is just very important with even what we're going to talk about today. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 for today. We'll just do those two. It says, surely our griefs, now that word we talked about can be translated sickness. It's the Hebrew word choli, C-H-O-L-I. And I told you last week, and this is very important for us, 24 times it's used in the Old Testament. 20 of the times it's translated sickness. 4 times it's translated grief. And 3 of those 4 times are in these verses that we're talking about. So it is very proper that we can say, surely our sicknesses, of a certainty, my sicknesses, he himself bore. And we're going to see if he bore them, I don't have to have them. And our sorrows, and that word is M-A-K-A-B in the Hebrew, and it can also be translated pain or pains. So my pains, he carried away. Yet we ourselves, talking about the people at that day, esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, because they could not see the MRI of what was going on inside. And that was the analogy we made last week. And then verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. We don't have any trouble with that. Most of the church doesn't have any trouble with that. He was crushed for our iniquities. They also don't have much trouble with that. The chastisement or the chastening for our well-being or the chastisement of our peace fell upon him. So he took that punishment. Chastisement there literally means a punishment. And then it says, and by his scourging, or by his stripes, we are healed. That, beloved, is what was finished on the cross. Do we have to ask God, save me, save me, save me? No. We know that Jesus already did that. And we saw last week that just like Jesus has completed that work, our well-being, our peace has been previously purchased. Our sicknesses have been purchased. It's as if paid in full has been written and nailed to your door. And it says, sickness, peace, sin, you have no authority over anybody in this household. That's who we are. We looked at Mark in the account of the leper. In Mark 1, verses 40 and 40 through 42, and don't turn there. And the leper came to Jesus and he said, I know you can, I just don't know your will. And what did Jesus say concerning healing him? Jesus said, why, of course I will. And we looked at scriptures that said Jesus is no respecter of persons. We looked at several. We looked at several that said he changes not. So if it was true then, and he's the perfect representative or the perfect image of God, then we know what? It's God's will that we be healed today. And that's what the Lord spoke in Isaiah 53:10 when it said, it pleased the Lord to do this to him. That's one you need to just meditate on, and that will just lift you up inside concerning healing. So, the gift, the finished work of healing belongs to us now. It's His grace. It is a gift. We didn't earn it. So, by His grace, it is available. It is part of salvation, healing is, and it's through faith that we receive it. Through faith that we receive it. Now, if we know it's His will and we know how it's going to come, then let me just say it this way. Knowing His will is so important, because it's going to establish how you view everything God has for you and wants for you. It also will impact how you seek to receive it from Him. If you believe that it's something you've got to still earn or pray enough for or work for, then guess what? It's not going to come like you think. It's not going to be that way. Because it is a free gift. And God, we don't need to pursue and pursue and pursue and bombard heaven for something He's already made available to us. And so it impacts how you see it. And how you see it is determined how you're going to pray. If you don't really believe that it's already yours, then you're going to be praying like using a crowbar trying to pry something out of His hand. And I'm going to show you a scripture in a moment that says that if it's not His will for you to have it, there ain't no need in you praying, because you're not going to pry it out of His hand. So that's what I want to focus on today, is let's go to today and look at, as if we're turning in this requisition that we mentioned last week, and we'll look at some scriptures about that, and it's already approved, and all I need to do is take it. So let's go to the third chapter of John and look at the 27th verse. We're going to read it in two translations. This is John the Baptist who's talking here, not the disciple. He's been in some discussions with others, and his disciples come to him talking about what's going on, and because it looks like Jesus is about to supplant him in what he's doing. And John responds and makes this statement. A man can receive. This is the word we talked about last week, lambano, which means to receive or to take. A man can take nothing. So that says you're not going to pry it from God. Unless it has been what? Given him from heaven. So you need to decide today. Faith is a choice that we make to believe. Have I been given my healing from heaven as a free gift? And unequivocally, I'm going to urge you to believe it and say, yes, it is mine and I receive it right now. So, let me read you what the Amplified says. Amplified version says, John answered, a man can receive nothing. Now look at these brackets, because that's important. Because that's exactly what we're going to be studying today. It's in these brackets. He can claim nothing. Then it says, and let's make it personal for me, I cannot take unto myself anything except as it has been given to me from heaven. So if I'm going to receive my healing, then I've got to know it's given. And then if I know it's given, let's flip this verse around. Then I can receive everything that heaven's given. I can claim it and I can take it unto myself. Now, a lot of people begin to have trouble when we say I can claim it or I can take it unto myself. You shouldn't have any trouble with that after today. We ought to put that one to rest in a good way. And so turn with me to Mark 11. And what we are talking about is why the apostolic prayers, particularly in Ephesians, don't talk about, Lord, give me something that I don't have. What is he praying there? All of it is about enlighten my heart, enlighten my eyes so that I can see what's already mine, that fullness. So here in Mark 11, 22, and let me go to my Bible and open it there. Jesus is talking, and in my Bible it's in red letters. So regardless of what you've heard others say about people who teach this is, they didn't make this up. This is what Jesus said. Have faith in God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Now we talked a little bit about faith last week, but we're going to talk some more about it today. Have faith in God. So what does that mean? That we're going to believe not only the word, but we're going to believe and trust him. That's what Jesus did. He believed the words that his father spoke, but why did he believe the words? Because he had full confidence in his father. So this is red letters, and it's saying have faith in God. It can also be translated have the faith of God. Well, where did your faith come from? As a gift, I might add, to believe him. It came from him. So have the faith of God. Now again, why do we need this faith? Because it's my part or my response to his grace. It's how I'm going to receive what he's given me. And then we get to verse 23. And verse 23 says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now what does a mountain represent? Something that is in your way. It's inhibiting you. It's causing you problems. You've got to go around it. Sickness, disease, pain, mental torment. Say to this mountain. Well, why does it tell us to say that to this mountain? Because what do we know? Jesus has already solved the issue that this mountain is presenting to us. He's taken it away. And look at what he says. Be taken up and cast into the sea. If you say that to this mountain, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe. So we're talking about faith. Faith is the verb, and believing is what we do. And I would say it this way. Believing is the normal life of a Christian. Believing what? Believing the Word of God. Why can you believe that? Because you have confidence in the Father to do what he said. But believe that what he says is going to happen. And what does it say? It shall be granted him. Now, a grant is not something people earn today. They apply for it, and they're awarded it, and they receive it. So here it's talking about something that has already been given to us. So we can speak to sickness and disease in this manner as we take it. Then verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask. Oh, wait a minute, man. I thought you just said, and we're talking about healing, that I could just speak to it. You can. But people say, well, how about that verse that says you have not because you ask not? Folks, it's okay to ask and declare to it as long as you're asking with the right heart. And what is the right heart? The right heart is I'm not begging God for something he's already given me. I'm just receiving it and taking it. So what he says, all things for which you pray and ask. The word ask there, we talked about, aiteo in the Greek, A-I-T-E-O. And it means, can mean literally to demand or to claim. I told you it was like submitting a requisition. But what do you know about this requisition when you go to submit it? It's already approved. So you're going to cash a check that you know is a good check, and you're not worried about the bank not giving you your money. And what does it say? Believe that you receive them. When are you supposed to believe that you receive them? When we pray. When we go to present it, we're already knowing that it's ours. So we're talking about taking it. Now, one thing you can be certain of, and if you'll put up Luke 10:19 for me, you have an enemy of your soul who is going to do everything he can to intercept it, to take you off course, to stop you. He's going to do everything you can. He's going to deceive you. He's going to try to create doubt. He may put somebody in front of you who offends you, and then you get over an offense too. But you need to be absolutely certain that this verse is true in that case. Behold, I have given you authority, exousia. King James says power there. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. When you go to take it and lay your hands upon it, unless you release your hands from it, it's yours. And this verse tells us nothing, no thing can the devil do to take it from you and to stop that from happening. Now that's shouting ground. That's something we can all get excited about. So what we're talking about and what we're seeing is we're taking something as ours. So now I want to shift and I want to go back to the Old Testament and I want to talk about possessing it. This is an Old Testament word that I think is very important, that we've got to get to a point where we possess it as we own it. Now, I want you to go to Deuteronomy 1, but I want to read a verse to you from Genesis 12, verse 24, if you're taking notes. You remember Abraham left his home. He didn't do it exactly as the Lord told him to. That says he wasn't perfect, but he still got this promise. How much more is this kind of promise is yours, since Jesus has already paid the price for all that we've done wrong? So he goes, and he's traveling through the land of Canaan, and the Lord stops him and begins to talk to him and appears to him and says, to your descendants, I will give this land. Now, when the Lord says something, what do we know about his words that he speaks? He watches over them to perform it. He's faithful to it. It's as good as done. In the eyes of Abraham, who does this land belong to? His descendants. His descendants. So now we fast forward. Children of Israel have left Egypt. They've seen the sea fled, or sea flee. They're about to see the Jordan back up. When they left Egypt, they also experienced no water. And what did the Lord do? He provided them. He took care of them, everything they need. They didn't have enough food, so manna and quail came. They've seen miracles, and they've gone around this mountain. And these verses come right after the Lord says, you've gone around this mountain enough. How many of us feel like we've had to go around our mountain instead of speaking to it and seeing it removed? So today is your day to stop going around the mountain. Verse 8. This is his instruction, the Lord's instruction through Moses to the children of Israel. See. Don't read through that word. Because what he's telling them to do is to count it as done. See it like he's going to say it is, not what you're looking at. But my hand hurts. I'm going to talk about my thumb in a moment. My thumb hurts. I can't. This says, see, I have placed the land before you. Go in. That means you're going to have to step into it, step out of where you are in that comfort zone and step into something. Go in and do what? Possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Now, he doesn't just say it one time in this chapter. In fact, I'm just going to show you a couple of them. Go down to verse 21. In verse 21 of this chapter, look at what he says. See, the Lord your God has placed this land before you. Do you realize this is right where they were looking over at this land when this is going on? Go up and do what? Take possession. What does that mean? It means that you own it. It's yours. It's not something that's rented. It's not just a temporary thing where you go and rent something today, but somebody else owns it. It becomes yours. And the Lord is saying to somebody today, today is a day for you to own what I've given to you. Not just see that you're pursuing it and not just praying for it to come as if the bank is holding it back. Walk up to that counter and say, this is mine. So here we are looking at the children of Israel, and the Lord has said, go and possess it, take it as your own. Now go to Numbers 13. Now these are familiar verses, so don't unplug with where we are. They've just been to spy out the land. They sent the 12 spies to the land. And in Numbers 13, they come back and look at how they respond. Thus they told him, talking about Moses, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. What are they saying? The land is just like the Lord described it. But what part of what he told them about that are they forgetting? It's yours. You see that in the next verse. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, the giants there. And then 29 tells us who all is living there. And then verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, well, let's go around the mountain a couple more times and then maybe they will go get it. It's not what he said. We should by all means. How can he say we should by all means go up and take possession of it? Because he's got the word of the Lord on it that it's theirs. Are there giants living in the land? Yes. Did they see the land was good? Yes. Did they see high wall cities? Yes. But what did the Lord say? It's yours. Can you look at a part of your body and say, I know you're not functioning? Or can you look at that part of the body and say, I know you're not functioning, but the word says, and then speak to it? So that's what he's doing here. Caleb is saying, we should by all means go and take it as ours, for we shall surely overcome it. Now here is a difference. Who's already overcome it for you? Jesus. He bore it. He took it away. So you are more than a conqueror. So now you don't have to do the initial overcoming because it's already done. It's been made available to you. And look at how they responded. But the men who had gone up with them said, no, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us. That's equivalent to saying, Lord, I know that it's good, and I know that I ought to be able to, but have you seen my knee lately? Now we laugh at that. But we need to see that's not something we really want to, a path we want to go down. Because what happened to them? 40 years because of their unbelief, tempting and trying God over and over and over, 10 times. And it got to this, and the Lord said, you're going to wander around for 40 years. Now, I don't want you to focus on them wandering around and not having the faith until everybody died out and then the ones who had come along after went in. I want you to focus on Joshua and Caleb. Can you imagine during those 40 years? And let's assume it's me and Miss Charlotte. Can you assume during those 40 years how long Miss Charlotte said to Minton, "Hey, that land is ours. We're going in it. The Lord told us we're going in it. That land is ours. Hey, be encouraged now. We need to be rejoicing. We need to be giving thanks today. That land is ours." Can you imagine keeping that attitude up for 40 years? And sometimes we have a hard time doing it for 4 hours. We're going to be talking about that. That land, that place of healing, is yours. Now, let me give you one other verse just to reinforce. No. I'm going too fast. What are they doing? They are looking at the carnal versus looking at what the Lord has spoken, which is going to be what? The spiritual. And as we talked about last week, that's why Pastor Robert and Trey and Pastor Trey and myself continually talk about you got to live from this spirit man inside you, not ruled by what your five senses. You've got to be ruled by what you don't see. Deuteronomy 31. In Deuteronomy 31, the third verse. Moses is talking to the people. He's been with the Lord, and he knows his time has come. And he said, "It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you." Cross what? The Jordan ahead of you. "And he will destroy the nations before you, and you shall" what? "Dispossess them." Now, with this promise, who is doing the fighting? Has the battle from the words he's telling them been fought? It has, because the Lord said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. And all you got to do is go take what I leave there and chunk it out and replace it with what is yours, with you. I'm going to go before you and destroy these nations, and you shall dispossess them." And Joshua's the one who's going to go ahead of you, just as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sion and Og. So he's given them some examples where they've been going around that mountain, where they destroyed people. And I say where they destroyed them. In their eyes, they did. But who destroyed them? The Lord did. And then we get to verse 5. "Now the Lord will deliver them up before you. Then you shall do according to all the commandments I have given you." And his commandments were, get rid of them, because their ways are wicked and I don't want you associating with it. When we are fighting the good fight of faith, and people keep coming talking about the thing we're fighting against, trying to receive, what is it wise for us to do? I'm not saying be rude, but sometimes you have to do what the Lord says and separate yourself so you're not hearing all these other things. You've got to do His commandment, because you have been separated out. And then verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." Just like 2 Chronicles 20, when the praisers went out first, when they thought it was right to do that. Sometimes you're going to have to, in fact, I'll say more frequently than not, you're going to have to look at your enemy, not people. And I'll say the enemy is not even the thing, disease that has attached itself to you. You're going to have to look at the devil and saying, "I'm dispossessing you. Get." You're going to have to be willing to face the enemy and speak to him in the authority that we saw earlier that we've been given. And what will he do? Flee. Gone. Verse 7, "Then Moses called Joshua, and he told him, be strong and courageous." We see that in Joshua 1 later on, where he tells him over and over, "For you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. What do you have to do to earn an inheritance? Say, it's mine. I'm the one written up here in the will. No fighting, no battles. Declaring what is yours, what has been promised you. And then the last verse, 8. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Would you pull up Isaiah 41:10? As I was putting this verse down in my notes, 41:10 came to my mind. So there are people in here who have said, the Lord has spoken to, and He said, do not fear, for I'm with you. Now, before He answered the second part, He said, do not fear. You said, how can I do that? And He answered you, for I'm with you. And then you say, look at this, Lord, and you look anxiously about. What does the Lord say? He says, don't do that. How can I not do that? Because He said, I am your God. But Lord, I'm not strong in my faith. Well, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. But Lord, I just don't know if I can do it. I just can't do it. Surely I will hold you up, uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is your promise today. We're going to talk about persevering in a moment. This is your promise to persevere, because it's not something you're doing by yourself. It's coming from the inside, and the Lord is doing it for you. Now I want you to go to Joshua 1. This is the last verse in the Old Testament. And then we're going to look at what the New Testament tells you about it. Now when we get to verse 3, somebody may shout. Trey may even run. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' servant, saying, okay, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. You got to remember, this is in flood season. This isn't the best time to go. Cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to the sons of Israel. And this is the verse we need to shout about. Every place on that land, which the sole of your feet or foot treads. So what he's saying is, when you step on that land, read that next phrase, I have given it to you. By grace, my salvation, through faith, to step over that line and say, it's mine. I am taking it as mine. Now that's shouting ground. Because all he's telling us is, you don't have to fight the battle to get it. All you got to do is to step over that line in faith, and I have given it to you. Amen. Do we see that? Glory, glory, glory. So what does the New Testament tell us about it? Now, could the inhabitants have stopped them? No. Why? Because the Lord said, I've given it to them. So how about us today? Jesus said, it's finished. 1 Peter tells us, by His stripes you were healed. We've already talked about the victory has been won over death and sickness, and the word says it's ours. Now, as I was coming in this morning for prayer, I was driving and the Lord began to speak to me. I wasn't even thinking about this part. What do we often say when we're given that commandment? When we're given the instruction, when the Lord tells you something in your mind, what is the first question that we normally ask ourselves? And don't say you don't do it, because I do it, and I know my children have done it, and I know others that have done it. We normally say, do I have enough faith to go get this? We question it. Or we say, how do I know that I've got enough faith to know it? Let me tell you what He said about how we'll know. When you know that you know, you won't think about your faith. You'll just think about Jesus and how He is providing it to you. You won't question yourself. In other words, what did we say last week? The Lord told Jairus, when the lady with the issue of blood detained him and the man came from Jairus' home and said, don't trouble him anymore. She's dead. And then Jesus said, don't fear, only believe. Why would Jesus tell him that? Do you remember what I said last week? Because he could. He could not fear and only believe. All he had to do was turn his head away from the one who came with the bad report and look in the eyes of Jesus. That's the same thing that you do. We talked about seed faith, and we focus too much on the size of our faith. It's not just about that covering that's big or small of the seed. It's about what's inside that seed. That life-giving DNA that we actually prayed about this morning. Pastor Trey was praying. He began to talk about your life, Lord, your light. That's what we look at. So our faith is not about looking at me. What do we tell somebody when somebody has trouble with how the Lord loves them? Well, don't focus now on how much you love God. Turn your focus to what? How much he loves me. So, flip this around then. If we don't have enough faith, don't focus on, I don't have faith. Focus on his faithfulness. That's going to take your eyes off of the evil and put it on the merciful, gracious one who is already provided. And I don't believe the Lord would have me teach this morning in this manner unless he believes you and anyone who hears this later on can do it. Just like Jairus. No fear. Don't question. Don't say anything that you shouldn't say. Just believe. Look in my face. See my faithfulness. So now, let's go to Hebrews 4:16. And we got about four more scriptures, and I think we can get through them just in perfect time. Therefore, so we need to read sometime what's above this. Therefore, let us draw near. Draw near to what? We're going to draw near to the throne of grace. How are we going to draw nigh to it? Confidently. Confidently. Now, I'm sitting here remembering teaching this to another church about a year and a half ago. And what I told those people was, what do we do a lot of times when we need to go before the Lord? We go find somebody that we think can really pray. And we say, can I follow your coattails into the throne of grace? So it'd be like me going to say, Trey, can I just follow you in? Because I know you can get there, but I'm not sure I can. That's not what you're doing. You're going confidently. King James says boldly, but that word is translated both. It is boldly. It's not arrogant. You're going because you're the child of the Lord, and you can go up to him and say, hey, you said that you would provide my daily bread. I need some daily bread. I'm submitting my requisition. You can grow in that confidence to the throne of grace concerning your healing. So that you may do what? Receive. That word lambano again, which means to take, to receive, to obtain. So that we may receive what? Mercy. And we can find grace to help in time of need. Now, I've had some people tell me before, yeah, but it doesn't say I can go take mercy. I mean, take grace like I can take mercy. Time out. Do you think the Lord's going to invite you to the throne of grace, have mercy sitting there in front of you and tell you you can take it, and right next to it is his grace, and you start to reach it and he slaps your hand? Now, you're laughing. So why aren't we going to that throne of grace and taking that mercy and turning around and putting my hands on that grace and receiving it, possessing it as my own? too often it's because we don't believe we can. But that's changing today, because your faith is being built as we study these words. Faith cometh by the anointed teaching, and you're hearing that this morning. Look at me with, so we're seeing, take it, obtain it, it's mine. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 starts out, fight the good fight of faith. Now you can laugh at what I'm about to say, but make sure you don't do it. Who are you fighting when you fight the good fight of faith? Well, let me ask you some questions. How are you praying? Are you praying and begging the Lord to give it to you? Are you asking over and over? Are you trying to get the hundreds and thousands of people to bombard heaven so He'll give it to you? Folks, we're not fighting God in this good kind of faith. We're fighting our mind and our emotions so we can enter into that rest. But too many of us pray like we're fighting God to give us what we think we need, instead of going in and receiving and taking His mind what He's promised. So fight the good fight of faith. Now look at this next phrase. Take hold. Does that sound like Lambano? It is. Take hold of eternal life. How about if I say it this way? The God kind of life. What kind of life does God have? Disease free. Sickness free. And look at there. To which you were called. It's yours. He's telling you, come, take it. And how did you do that? One of the ways was you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what we have here is fighting that good fight of faith, which is Hebrews 4:10 talks about, is labor to enter into that rest. That's the fight we have. Now, when you enter into that rest, that means you're going to have some peace. That means joy can be there. So you can enjoy the taking and the process that comes with it. In fact, I'll tell you, joy needs to be a part of it. You also see this in verse 19. It talks about taking hold of that which is life indeed. To me, that's saying the same thing. The God kind of life. Now, we too often hear people say, well, let's just wait on God. Or we'll hear people say, hey, now, let go and let God. Now, I know what they mean, but I'm not sure they do. What are we letting go of? My efforts, my work. But nowhere do you find in the Scripture that it says, just let go of God, let go of Him. It's always take hold, pursue Him, acquire Him. You'll find Him, seek Him. It's always not about letting go of anything, because with our spiritual hands, we want to possess what He's giving us. So don't ever see yourself letting go. So what is it? Where are we on the script there, on that there? So what we're talking about is letting go of our works and entering that rest. Now, waiting on God. Waiting on God is not this. And for those who are listening to the audio, I'm twiddling my thumbs. I'm doing nothing. That's not waiting on God. Waiting on God is joining yourself to Him. It's being part of that twisted rope for the word hope, which means something future, where you would twist the three strands of a rope to make it stronger. You are pursuing Him. How are you pursuing Him? We'll talk about that in just a moment. So laying hold means go take it. Do nothing, waiting on Him. Now, let me tell you about my thumb. You think a thumb is not, well, let me say it this way. You don't think about a thumb. Last week, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, I went to pick up something very light in my kitchen. BJ was gone and I was going to make myself some lunch. And when I went to pick it up, my thumb kind of just went down on my forefinger, and I felt like an ice pick had gotten stuck in there. And I responded with my voice. Ow. I kind of looked at it and I said, you have no right there, you're healed, and just went on. Well, guess what? All that afternoon, it got worse. I told my sister about it. That evening, I'm praying, don't remember exactly what I was doing, and the Lord just came to me and began to say, I want you to confess that it's whole, and I want you to quit looking at it. Well, guess what? When I picked up a thing of toothpaste and did that motion, it hurt. But I would not dwell on it. So I began to thank him. I began to praise him. I began to confess scriptures. And then out of my mouth comes, Lord, I really want to have a good witness. And I actually said this. When this thing is healed, I can use it as my testimony next week in teaching. And sternly, I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but he said, you've already got the testimony if you believe it's yours. Amen. How often have you said, Lord, heal me so I can have a good testimony? What he just told me was those two things are not separate. I have a good testimony. I have confidence in his word, therefore it is mine. Now with that, let's go to Hebrews 10. And you know what? When I woke up Sunday morning, about 2 days after this, I couldn't make it hurt. And I was mad at myself that I was even trying to make it hurt once I really thought about it. So Hebrews 10, verse 35. Last set of scriptures. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, your absolute trust in the Lord that what he's spoken to you, he's going to do. Because your confidence has what? A reward. You know, what is the reward that your confidence is going to have? That you're going to receive what you've been believing for. And then in verse 36, it says, for you have need of, depending on translation, your Bible may say patience. My New American Standard, the New American Standard, says endurance. That is actually what I believe the word means. It's from two words, hupo, which means under, and meno, which means to abide. And it's saying patience, endurance, is being undergirded so you can stand firm. So you can endure. So that when you've done the will of God, you may do what? Take, possess, lay hold of, receive what was promised. And we're going to come back and talk some more about this verse. 37, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, in verse 38, shall live, how? By faith. And we've already seen, faith is not just sitting doing nothing. So we're going to talk about how that ties in with my endurance. And then look at this phrase. And if he shrinks back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If he shrinks back. Now what does shrinking back indicate? I'm there, I'm grabbing hold of something, and something happens and I back up. I'm letting go of what I just got. And I'm letting the devil get in between me and it again. Say with me, we are not of those who shrink back. We press in and possess what he's given. And then verse 39. See what you just positioned? You just professed? But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering, to walking through it in the soul. That says to me, my spirit and my soul are in alignment, and it's a 2-to-1 fight, and flesh, you don't stand a chance. So let's go back for a minute, because I want to just talk about a few things that I've learned in my years. What do I do? Back to 36. In this perseverance. What do I do when the pain continues? What do I do when I get bad report after bad report? I'm going to tell you the first thing that I think that I have learned to try to do is be thankful. Now, for you say you've lost your mind, let me tell you what I'm not being thankful for. I'm not being thankful for the pain. I'm not talking about that. But I'm being thankful for everything else that's working well. Like the other day, I couldn't pick up with my right hand what I wanted to. But you know what? I could be thankful because my left hand worked just fine. And I got this attitude of thanksgiving. And when I got this attitude of thanksgiving, what does it do? It focuses you on what's good instead of just being consumed by what's not good. Second thing, praise and worship. What does the scripture say about that? It steals the enemy. He can't pursue it. In fact, it says he'll flee it. So play it. Get you some music. Put it on. Sing with it. We've got a song that we sing around our house, that we play around our house. Martha Manuzzi, I think is her name. Shout unto God in the voice of triumph. And if you've come to my door at the right time, you may see BJ and I going around that house shouting and praising. We've had Trisha and Mom doing it with us when we've been praying for some things. Guess what happens? I can tell you of one evening. I can tell you several instances where it worked. But one evening in Tennessee, we didn't know this song back then. It was just before we learned it, matter of fact. And we were watching a speaker in a prayer seminar, Billy Brim's Autumn Prayer Seminar. And they were worshiping, praising God like crazy. BJ's fighting vertigo. Severe vertigo. Can't hardly go sit in church without getting sick to her stomach. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the praising, the Lord gives me a word of knowledge. He tells me four things to speak to. I speak to him, and you know her response? The room just got brighter, she said. Well, then, no other lights turned on. Next thing I know, she's up walking around praising. She said, what do well people do? They walk around and praise the Lord. They don't have to lay in the bed and do it. She acted on it. What did it come from? It came from us focusing on him instead of what she was. In praising, we were actually going to that throne of grace and receiving, even though we weren't fully aware of what was about to happen and how it was about to become ours. What else do you do? Immerse yourself in healing scriptures and good teaching. You can go back and listen to all but just a couple. And I know it's all but just a couple because when we first started, we had a couple of problems with healing school in recording, but we've overcome that now. You can listen to every healing school that's ever been done here except those one or two. I've even got a website. You can go on and listen to all the ones I've done here and some other places where we've taught on. There is ample things for you to listen to feed your mind to. And you say, well, I can't do that all day. Well, you're going to have TV on. Listen to how bad condition the nation's in if you don't. How serious are you about pressing in to receive? Faith comes when you hear the anointed word. I have an old iPod. I have five or six pastors reading healing scriptures. One day I'm going to make my own list because my own voice needs to be heard in my ears. I play those things at night. If I wake up and can't sleep, if I've been fighting anything in my body, or normally on the day before I teach healing school, I turn those things on when I go to sleep, put it on continue, and I got about 6 hours of that. And so I listen to everybody once and a person or two twice. Every Wednesday night, Thursday. Immerse yourself. Get yourself involved in building your faith. The last thing that I want to tell you is pursue that place of rest. Don't just try to fight and fight and fight and fight. get into that place of rest. Tell you a story here. I've shared it before. A couple of years ago, sitting teaching healing school, when I was teaching healing school, I got to where I couldn't raise my shoulder, my arm, but about right there. It hurt so bad. Years ago, I had a frozen shoulder. So what did I do? Well, I began to confess I'm healed, and I went and got that little contraption they gave me to do all these stretching exercises and everything, and I worked my tail off, and my shoulder got worse and worse and worse. Finally, one day, I heard the word of the Lord come to me. I had asked for wisdom, so it shouldn't have been a surprise. And he said, rest. You know, within 2 weeks, I could put it behind my back and reach his hand back and touch it. We got to hear what he says. How do you receive your miracle? You seek him and hear what he says, and then what do? Whatever he says. If it doesn't make sense, you do it. Let me tell you some other things that I've done. This one ties into that seeking his wisdom and acting. We had a situation with one of our children that this physical thing kept coming back year after year for a long season of years. And it had come back one time, and we were both angry about it. So we began just worshiping with our adult son at that time, praying, praising the Lord, confessing things over him, and all of a sudden, my quiet, soft-spoken wife hears from God and declares a prayer that involved the phrase, loose your tentacles concerning this situation. She prayed in a way I had never heard her pray before. She prayed in a way I haven't heard her pray since. I'm convinced she got a gift of faith and saw exactly what she needed to declare and declared it. And do you know, from that time on, our son's been free. Now, how miraculous this was is that we had shared the situation with a friend, and the next day this friend calls me and tells me about her praying with one of her friends in California. And I said, well, last night BJ declared this. And she said, oh my God. She said, that's exactly what that lady in California prayed. So what did we affirm? We heard from God. In the midst of the mess, we heard from God and declared it. Act on the authority you've been given. Speak to that mountain. Be bold in doing it. One of the things that I do frequently is go take communion. And there are times where I take communion multiple times a day if something's going on. So that is something, because what are you doing? You're affirming, Lord, I'm in a covenant agreement with you, and this is what you said about it. There's been two times in our life that we've sat down and written out a document that said, Lord, here's what you said. We knew we were moving. We didn't know where, when, or how. And so we looked at things about him giving us direction and leading and guiding us, and we hear his voice. And we wrote all those things down and signed it. It's in my drawer at the house today. That's why we're here today. We wrote it and signed it and dated it and said, Lord, we consider this our covenant with you. It's part of what your covenant with us was, and therefore you're going to do it. I've done it the same way with finances. I still have that one document as well. But the main thing I'm going to tell you to don't quit doing is don't quit speaking the word. If you take a step and a knee hurts, bless God, I'm whole. And then it hurts in the next step, then put a smile on your face and say, bless God, I'm whole. Don't stop saying what God said about you, because he watches over his words to perform it. Now I want to conclude with this. Joshua 1:3 again. Every place you step the sole of your foot, I have given you that land. And you say, what land? The land of healing. Every place you step out and do what he says, toward the promise that he gave, he says, I have given you that land. This is how I believe we possess our gift of healing from the Lord. So, I asked the Lord, how do we pray today? And what I heard was for you, for things that you get bear witness that you're facing, that are obstacles or mountains or a sea in the way, that because of His Spirit in you, it's time for you to speak to that mountain. It's time for you to speak to that mountain. The Jordan will turn back. Those things that have hampered you will move away. If you're at a point where you're saying, I've been doing it, but I'd like some prayer of agreement, then Robert and I and Trey will be up here. And we would love the opportunity to pray with you. And we can do it, not begging, but we can do it knowing that we're going to submit a requisition and that's approved and our faith will go with yours. And we prayed this morning that gifts of faith, gifts of healings, would take place here today. And we got happy about it, didn't we? So you've got options. So let's just, Robert, do you have any music you could just put on quietly for a couple of minutes? If you don't have to run, just sit in this. Allow the Lord to minister to you. Allow Him to tell you what to do concerning the issue you want to bring in front of Him. Ask Him the question and be quiet and let Him answer. And this is exactly what Pastor Robert's teaching on Wednesday nights during this season. And if you have a prayer language, use it. If you don't have a prayer language, we can also pray for you concerning that. And if you come on Sunday morning, you're going to learn a lot more about praying in tongues. But that is one of the things I do constantly. And it's important in receiving.